Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And it's about this point that every child in the audience who can read just said, "Oh no, no, hadn't we heard this recently?" But a lot of the younger ones were in class last Sunday morning when Brother Casimir talked about some of these principles, and it's not the same lesson, but you will hear some of it again. Go with me there in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth." Quite frankly, we live in a society that often promotes disrespect toward parents. And the strange thing is, it seems that many parents have come to expect it. I was talking with someone in a store yesterday, and he basically said, talking about a teenage daughter, "Well, it's okay. You know, I expect it." And talking about how he had been lied to multiple times, he said, "Yeah, well, you know how it is. It's okay." Not okay. It's not remotely okay. And when we accept that attitude of acceptance, we're promoting it and approving of it and allowing it to continue happening. So this is not the Lord's way. It is never the Lord's intentions. It's nothing new. The Old Testament addresses it. I would suggest to you that rebellion to parents is a recurring theme. And it's a recurring theme in society. It's a recurring theme in entertainment. And if you think I'm making it up, it's something our kids get exposed to early. In almost every Disney movie, do you recognize rebellion to parents as being a theme? And if you don't believe me, Little Mermaid, Ariel disobeys her father, and she ends up getting what? Exactly what she wants by the end of the movie. Moana disobeys her father, ends up getting what she wants by the end of the movie. Brave, Merida disobeys her father, seriously disrespects her mother, and at the end of the movie, she gets exactly what she wants. The Lion King, Simba disobeys his father, which gets his father Mufasa killed in the process. At the end, what is he? He's king. Mulan disobeys her father, and she becomes a national hero by the end of it. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Now, I'm not suggesting that all of this is, but I am saying we need to be aware of what our kids are watching. And we need to, because we could look at this and say, my kids know better than that. Well, do they? Because if I let the TV and the Blu-ray player babysit them, maybe they don't. This is what is being shown to them constantly. I'm not saying you can't watch any of these movies, but it might be a good idea to talk about what's going on in them and make sure that they understand, hey, this is not normal. This is not okay. This is not right. Crabs don't talk, typically. I mean, you know, it's little stuff you need to let your kids know when watching Disney movies. The lesson being taught a lot of times is follow your heart no matter what your brain or your parents say. And that's a problem. It's there. Don't let an entertainment company raise our kids. Well, let's look at verses 1 through 3 again there and just kind of break it down. Children, obey your parents. Obey there is, it's not a one-time thing. It suggests constant submission. It's constantly placing yourself under this authority. Why obey your parents? Because it's right in the Lord. It is right. It is good. It's the Lord's plan from the beginning. It's what He always intended to happen, is for children to obey their parents. This is the Lord's way. Well, look at the next point there. Honor your father and mother. Verse 2. Why honor your father and mother? I love it when the Bible answers these questions for us. Because it will be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Well, what does that suggest? If I don't honor my father and mother, then it won't be well with me. And there's a very good chance I may not live long on the earth because of the decisions I make. Note that this is not just for little kids. I think sometimes we think, well, you know, this is talking to little kids. Paul wrote this. And it's being read before the congregation there at Ephesus. So this applies to children who are standing there as it's being read. And they're old enough to hear it being read, comprehend what it's saying, and they're able to make an application to their own life. Because notice, what does he say? He doesn't say, parents, you tell your kids to obey you. What does verse 1 say? Children, I'm talking to you directly, Paul says. You obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So these are old enough to understand and be able to make these applications for themselves. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Let's call it what it is, and let's just be plain. Disobedience is a sin. It is. And let's notice the company that disobedience to parents specifically keeps. Romans chapter 1, you've got here basically a list of the sins of the Gentiles that they had been involved in through the years, they had been caught up in, and that list is full. I mean, it's just covered with everything you could think of, basically. Pick up in verse 28, though, and notice what disobedience to parents keeps company with. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And of course, 32 goes on and talks about how not only those who do these things, but those who give approval of it are also guilty. But look at the list. And disobedient to parents is plopped right down in the middle of murderers and those who cause strife and backbiters and haters of God and all of these things. It's just as awful in God's sight as all of these others. And the car ride over, I was asking the girls, I told them what I was preaching on tonight. They got quiet all of a sudden. And I said, well, how do you think God feels when children are disobedient to their parents? And Ananias said, it makes him angry. And Aaron said, it makes him sad. And it probably makes him like 171,000% angry. And I said, at least that much. But I mean, they understand, right? They can comprehend these things. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We remember the list of sins given there in Romans 1. But 2 Timothy 3, you've got a description of evil men. I have it up here for you as well. We'll look at verse 2. And verse 1 says, in the last days, perilous times will come. Why? Because look at the kind of men that characterize the times. Verse 2, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. There it goes again, slanderers and all of these things. It is interesting to me, though. Notice where disobedient to parents is. What is right after it? Unthankful. I don't think it's by accident. I think those two just go together perfectly. If I don't appreciate what my parents have done for me, then I'll be disrespectful to them. And if I do truly appreciate what they've done for me, there's a chance, a lot less of a chance I'm going to be disrespectful. Those two just go, at least in my mind, go together so closely. If I don't appreciate my parents, I'll be quick to dishonor them. Here's a point. I know that there are some, they are still children, certainly they are at home, they're young adults, they're almost adults, but they are still under the charge of their parents, and some of them have obeyed the gospel sitting here in this room tonight. Let's remind ourselves of this point. I cannot be a faithful Christian while dishonoring my parents. It is absolutely impossible for me to be pleasing to God while dishonoring my parents. So, let's say you're one of those who's obeyed the gospel and you take the Lord's Supper, you sing praises, you've been baptized into Him, and yet you are consistently disrespectful to your parents. Stop playing that game and thinking it's okay. It's not okay. Your Lord is shamed by that and sickened by that. Just make sure we understand it. And this goes to me too. I have a mother. I still have responsibilities to her. We'll talk about that later. If I mistreat her and dishonor her, why in the world am I taking the Lord's Supper? I'm dishonoring the whole sacrifice that was made. This one sin can separate me from my God. It is serious. I think it's far more serious than we treat it a lot of times. It's not possible to please the Lord while dishonoring our parents. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Let's look at some advice from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1. Look at verses 8 and 9. Notice how advice from parents is a blessing when it's heeded. Proverbs 1 verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father. Do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck." And these are not chains like prison chains. These are chains like golden chains. These adornment, these signs of honor, these teachings, these blessings, they will bless you. They will help you through life is the point. Turn to chapter 6 of Proverbs. Look at verses 20 through 23. "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. They will protect you from sin and harm in this life. They will guide you. They'll teach you the things you need to know. My son, please listen," is the instruction that we get here. Then turn to Proverbs 30. I have it up here for you as well, verse 17. Sometimes verses just speak for themselves. Proverbs 30, verse 17. "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it." Should listen to mom and dad, huh? This is the picture that's painted there. You compare with honor your father and mother that we saw there in Ephesians chapter 6, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Remember I said, well, what's the opposite of that? I think that's the picture being painted here in Proverbs. If you don't honor your parents' decisions. If I'm foolish enough to disrespect my parents, then chances are I'm foolish enough to make some other really dumb decisions. And the picture that we have here is, you know what? That decision might land me out in the middle of a field dead with very big birds pecking out my eyeballs and other body parts off of what's left of me. And we say, oh, man, that's not a joke. This is the picture that the Proverbs give to us. If you're foolish enough to dishonor your parents, this can very well be your end. Remember, the Proverbs are general truths, a book of general truths, and here it is. If I'm foolish enough to put myself on that path, it can very well lead to this point. Leviticus 20, I think... so many fail to realize the very fabric of our society is threatened when children dishonor parents. We see in the law of Moses, it was very blunt concerning this particular topic. Chapter 20, verse 9. "For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He who has cursed his mother or father, his blood shall be upon him." Very, very harsh. And we may look at that and say, wow, there's not a lot of room for mistake here. That's very serious. Why was it so harsh? Well, the law of Moses was a civil law as well as a spiritual law for the Jews. It took both. And Brother Casimir mentioned how Israel was a theocracy. It was ruled by God. So let's just kind of think about the implications. If Israelite children mocked and abused their parents, how are they going to treat the rulers that God had appointed over them? Rebellion and disrespect. And more importantly, how are they going to treat the God who ruled over all of them? Rebellion and disrespect. You hear that phrase, it starts at home? Well, God knew that. He understood that. That disrespect and that rebellion started at home, and it would lead to a rejection of Him. And it did with Israel. It's not like He didn't know what He was talking about. It truly did, and you see it through their history over and over again. All of those things go together. So what can we do? Well, remembrance helps. There are things that if we stop and think about, makes it a whole lot easier to do the things we need to do and hopefully keep us from being so quick to rebel. If we remember the sacrifice that our parents have made for us, they have sacrificed tremendously over the years. They've put our needs before theirs. How many times? How many times have they just stopped and the second one to go with it completely changed their plans around for my sake and your sake and all of these things that we needed to be done? And how many times have they stayed up late worrying sick and praying for us, praying for our souls, hoping that we would do what was right, that the Lord would protect us, that we would be safe? How many times? It'd be amazing to have a total. Why did they do it? Why did they go through it? Because the easy thing would just to be let your kids do whatever they want to do. Because in the short term, you could be their buddy, right? And you could get along and everybody'd be laughing and all that. So the easy thing to do would be not to require anything of them. Just basically let them do whatever they want to. We can be pals. You can tell your friends how cool your dad is. And I don't have to worry about ever getting on your bad side or ever having you get mad at me. If you have parents who care enough to take the time to instruct and guide and discipline, you have a wonderful blessing. You may not realize it until 15 or 20 years from now, how great it is, but it truly is. And the reason they do it is because they love our souls. And here's the thing. I don't know if I've thought about this in the past. They love you enough to face your anger when they tell you no. Just let that sink in. How much do they love me? They love me enough to face my wrath, how angry I'm going to be at them because they told me no, I couldn't have my way. And you know, we can pitch a fit. And we can make life miserable for people. And our parents love us enough to say, I know you're going to be mad. And you're not going to like me for a week. But I'm doing it anyway because I love you. And because I know things that you don't know. And I see things that you don't see. And I know this is for your good. So I'm going to weather the storm of your wrath and your rudeness and your slamming door. I weather the storm because you need to hear it. And because I love your soul. This is why they do it. Proverbs 27, verse 6, I have up here for you. I never applied this to parents before, but I absolutely think it is applicable. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The parent who corrects you is being a true friend. They're being a true friend to your soul. They are concerned about your eternity more than anything. And I would tell you this, guys, tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. While you can. Because the time is limited. There'll come a time you won't be able to say thank you to them anymore. My dad provided. I mean, this is a guy who came to every basketball game that I ever played. He came to every track meet that I ever ran in. Which is, if you know anything about track, just ridiculous. Because nobody goes to track meets. Nobody likes to go to track meets because what honestly happens is, unless you're one of the few weirdos like me and like three other people who like all of the events, you sit there watching a bunch of stuff you don't care anything about until your kid finally runs. He runs for 15 seconds and then you pack up and go home. I mean, that's it. That's not fun. It's truly not. To do that, we never had a home track meet. We didn't have a track, which means every one of ours was away. He would work, he would get off, and he would be there. Sometimes it was halfway through. It means so much to me now, especially as a parent, to think about he just wanted to be there. He just wanted to see and support me. I cannot tell him now. I will never have an opportunity to thank him for that ever again, but you guys can. And you guys can. Don't miss your opportunities now while you can say thank you. The parents do some incredible things for us. Colossians chapter 3, turn there with me. Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 20. Obedience is something that it truly brings joy to God. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing for the Lord. I do have it up here for you as well. This pleases him. Don't you want to bring joy to the one who made us? Don't you want to make him happy? This is one of the things that does it. Obedience to parents. Are we grateful to our parents? Here's a question. Do we expect grace from our parents, but we give very little grace in return? We expect grace and mercy, right? And long-suffering and patience with us from them. But do we show little in return? Are we so quick to magnify our parents' faults while minimizing their sacrifice and their love and the good things they do? So we can fall into that trap. Satan will help us for sure. Maybe we just need to be honest, and maybe we just need to do some apologizing if we haven't handled this the right way. For those of us who are older and have older parents, growing up doesn't remove our responsibility to our parents. Not at all. It is true. I'm not under my parents' household. They don't lead my household anymore. That's my responsibility now. But it doesn't mean the honor has left and the respect due to them. That hasn't gone anywhere. I have more of an appreciation for it now. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Pharisees didn't understand this, and it made Jesus sick. Get this awful example in Matthew 15 of what they were doing. They basically tried to get around honoring their parents in the name of religion. Look at verse 3, Matthew 15. He answered and said, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." In other words, this is talking about Corban. So basically, what they were saying was, "Mom, Dad, I'm so sorry that you guys need some help. And I really want to help you out, but I gave that money I was going to use to help you over to the temple. Sorry about that, guys. I guess y'all are just going to have to starve. I mean, in the name of religion, Mom and Dad, I just can't help you. Can't do it." And Jesus looks at it and says, "You make me sick. You are using your religious traditions to get around honoring your parents and taking care of them the way you ought to do." He calls them out as hypocrites. Now, I will say this. There is one exception to all of this, right? If our parents should ever require something sinful of us, then we must not do that. And we say what Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that is true. I don't imagine any parent in this room is ever going to require that. But it does happen sometimes. I know a woman whose father forbade her from being baptized into Christ. He absolutely forbade it while she was under his roof. She eventually did. But, you know, there may be moments like that. So certainly if that's it, then yes, there's a difference. But I can't imagine that happening, certainly with this group. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Again, I want us to look at verse 4 and look at a responsibility. This is specifically for fathers. As parents, we ought to strive to be respectable. Our children are to respect us. We ought to be respectable. And I'll talk about if we're not in just a moment, but our goal should be to be worthy of that respect and honor. We should live in a way that shows us that way. Look at verse 4. "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Boy, that's a delicate balance, isn't it? That's one of the hardest things in this world for me, is striking the balance between disciplining and training our children and showing them right for wrong, but not coming over so hard and heavy-handed that you break their spirit or you provoke them to wrath. Do you guys know where that line is always? Write me a book if you do, please. I'll pay you whatever for it. It's so hard to know, okay, well, I can't let it go. I can't just let this behavior go, but I don't want to crush their spirits at the same time. And we're constantly changing, right? And we're constantly saying, "I'm sorry, I messed that one up." Or we should be. It is hard work. But it's worthy work, and it's important work, and it's work that the Lord has given us. And just notice how it says in verse 4, "Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Just have this picture of guiding them along, bring them up, not shoving them through the door and kicking them in the back. Bring them along, guide them along, show them the way, which would be through example too, not just instruction. Show them where they need to be. And when you mess up, fess up and tell them you did. Ask for forgiveness. Teach that lesson as well. It's hard work if you do it right. But let me note something on that. Failure on a parent's part is not a loophole for a children to be disobedient. Child can't say, well, you know, my dad wasn't a good dad, so it's okay for me to be disobedient. No, because God gave you that instruction. God has never done anything wrong to you. He's never failed you. I still owe that because of my Lord. My responsibility hasn't changed. Turn to 1 Timothy 1. I want to make a short point on this. I believe we can be disobedient to what I would call spiritual parents as well. Our physical parents aren't the only ones that we owe respect to and should be willing to take advice from in this life. Paul saw Timothy and Titus as true sons in the faith. You look at 1 Timothy 1. Verse 2, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. He wasn't literally his son, but he saw Timothy like that. You and I have brethren like this, brethren that do so much for us. They teach our classes, and I'm especially thinking when we're younger and you've got these older Christians that advise us, and they're trying to help us, and they spend time with us, and they're trying to lead us in the right way. We ought to respect and appreciate that too. You know, it's not because they have a ton of extra time on their hands. They do it because they care about our souls. They want us to grow. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, this is heartbreaking because this is some of the very last words of Paul. And for all the encouragement that he gives to Timothy, then look at verse 10. He tells him, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica. Here is a son in the faith who became unfaithful, rejected the Lord, rejected Paul, abandoned him. Am I a humble child or am I a stubborn, arrogant one? And the world means more to me than my brethren do, like Demas. We'll turn to Matthew 6. One last point for us. God is our heavenly Father. All of this points to Him. I said one last point, not one last verse, so don't hold me to that. We got a couple more. Well, we got four more. Matthew 6, just as we go through, just look at verse 14. Just looking at this idea of God being our heavenly Father. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than them? What's the point that's being made? He is a father too. He is that ultimate spiritual and eternal Father. Being a father, well, he deserves some respect, doesn't he? He deserves some honor. He deserves to be treated in that position of father. Go to Revelation 4. Here is a picture of God getting the respect that He deserves. Revelation chapter 4, you've got these mighty angelic beings surrounding His throne. They absolutely understand who He is. They understand how worthy He is. And we just look at verse 8. This is what, have you ever noticed a description of seraphim and cherubim in the Scriptures? They are really powerful. I mean, they are these incredibly majestic and mighty beings. The stuff they do, when God sends one of those destroyers to go, these are the people He sends. And yet notice what these mighty angelic beings do when they come before their God. Verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the creatures give glory, the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. In heaven they get it. They understand how worthy He is. Now turn to Malachi chapter 1. Because these great and mighty angelic beings get it, and yet so often mankind doesn't. He doesn't honor His Heavenly Father the way that He should. Malachi, notice the attitude of the people here. Verse 6 of chapter 1. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? This is God talking. And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, you treat me like garbage, he says. How is it that these angelic beings understand what God's worth, and so often mankind doesn't? All right, last verses, John chapter 8. What kind of child am I? Am I an obedient one or a disobedient child of His? Look at verse 42 in John chapter 8. Because in a sense, if I won't obey Him, I'm actually not one of His children at all. I shouldn't even pretend. I actually belong to somebody else. John 8, verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come from myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me." Speaking to the Jews, Jesus showed them who their real father was. Spiritually speaking, I'm the child of the one I behave like. If I'm humble and striving for righteousness, then I'm a child of my Father in heaven. If I'm stubborn and rebellious to God's will, then I'm a child of my father, the devil. So as we close, and you get your songbooks out, whose kid am I? Whose child are you? Who are we behaving most like? If you need to respond, we invite you to do that. Please come forward. We'll pray with you. If you need to obey the gospel, we'd love to see that. We'd love to help you with that as well. Please come as we stand and sing.